It's part two of our look at the collective bargaining agreement and how it impacts the Celtics today. The individual players, Jaylen Brown and his extension, Grant Williams, Jason Tatum, and how circumstances are just going to cost him millions more dollars. Not that anybody's crying for Jason, but I'm going to explain it all with Keith Smith right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Be ever ready. Recognize the city of champs. Boston, baby, we do what you can't. Locked On number 18, Tatum and Brown, J-team, step back. We gon' wet that and slay teams. Of course, the Celtics, who else could it be? Screaming like KG with the Larry O.B. Corrales above average, assessing the team status. Best daily pod, no cap, salary matching. Clutch like Bird to DJ, keep John on replay. Prime time, dapping up the truth on the sideline. Raining J's, how I started, raising banners, how we finished. Locked On Celtics pod, home of the winners. B.
Hey, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast right here in the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day, and I'm here for you every day, Monday through Friday, with a free, fresh podcast dropped directly to your device if you are a subscriber. So, whichever app you use to listen to podcasts, search for Locked On Celtics. However you got here, that's how you can stay here as a subscriber. So, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Hop onto that YouTube page if you'd like. Watch the show. Get into that comment section and join the conversation there. There's a lot of people in there talking. Make it a place that you frequent so you can get in there and have a conversation with people. I'm John Corrales. I used to play ball once upon a time. Now I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. Today's show, a continuation of my conversation with Keith Smith. Keith and I sat down earlier this week. Part one was the Tuesday podcast, so part two today. So if you missed part one, if you're just getting here, you don't need to hear part one. It's not like it's a movie or anything. You don't need part one to understand what's going on here, but it's a whole big fluid conversation. Part one was the tools that the Celtics are losing to get help around their star players, to add to their teams, to build a supporting cast. That's the word I'm looking for. Hey, today's show is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/Locked On today to get started. Later on, Jason Tatum, how he's impacted by the new CBA, and it's going to cost him a ton of money, even though he's going to make a ton of money. Just interesting that circumstances kind of bit him again. We'll talk about that. Grant Williams, his restricted free agency, that's going to be coming up later on in the second segment. The one and done, the impact there. But we're going to start off with Jaylen Brown. How does this impact him and his ability to sign an extension? Okay, it sort of directly impacts the Celtics, but it probably won't. If Jaylen Brown makes the All-NBA team, then this is moot. But let's just pretend that I'm going to fold in the other thing about the 65 game plateau that you should use. So for people who don't know, there's a provision in the new CBA. You have to play 65 games to be eligible for awards with whatever limitations they're going to throw in there. So maybe it's not really a 65 game limit because guys are going to, if you're hurt, if there's a major injury, then whatever. So it may not be 65, but one of the things I'm super interested about is, Our voters going to say this summer or this voting season, wow, 65 games. LeBron's not going to get to 65 games next year. I don't even think Kevin Durant's going to get to 65 games next year. Let's vote them in now, because this is going to be our last chance to vote LeBron and KD in, because next year, if they don't make the 65, then they're kind of like done making all NBA teams. Mm-hmm. So let's just give them the one more, even though this year, because of the games played and all of that stuff, that maybe it would be Jaylen Brown in there. I'm curious to see if voters are going to say, well, if 65 games the limit, I'm just going to apply that now. Or if they're going to say, if 65 games is the limit, I'm going to give these legacy guys their one kind of last All-NBA team because I don't expect them to make 65 games anymore. And that could be a way that Jaylen Brown gets screwed on the All-NBA.
I would love to say you're wrong on that, but I think you could be on to something, especially when we see things like people who have awards ballots, openly admitting, well, how I picked defensive player of the year is I picked a guy, I add up the most steals, rebounds, and blocks per game, and that's the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
That's how you get guys voting for, like, Andre Drummond. And it's like, wait, what are we doing? Like, right. He's not a good defender, never right. has been. And, like, you're giving him the depoy votes? Like, that's where – I don't know, man. I think you could be onto something. You could have some people like, yeah, this might be my last shot.
There's a lot of narrative voters out there, Keith. There's a lot of people who are like, narrative means something.
Yeah.
Ramona Shelburne, I'm calling her out, but I'm, not trying to disparage her. She, when Kobe died and LeBron was doing, he was stepping up and all that stuff, she wanted to give him MVP votes because he stepped up in the wake of Kobe Bryant. I was like, wait a second, that's not what the MVP is.
Yeah.
But people get emotional about things and you never know what's going to make them vote a certain way. I can absolutely see, and then we're dealing with human beings. See, you're explaining a lot of things with numbers and the ramifications of the numbers. My forte is getting into the heads of people and being like, oh yeah, I can see this little bit of a lot of voters going, oh, one more go around for LeBron.
Yeah.
And Jalen's going to make plenty of all NBAs, and hey, the new CBA is going to get him that same money anyway. So it doesn't matter if I vote for him or not. So full circle here. Let's look at this collective bargaining agreement thing. 140% raise over the last year of the salary versus 120%. That's a big deal because it does get Jalen closer to what he would make, but not all the way, right?
Yeah. So what happened with Jalen Brown when he signed his contract? I like to call him a near max player because he did not sign for the max, because which is also something that's changing, is teams were limited to how many designated players they could sign to max deals and all these things. And that's also
going away. Yeah.
Thankfully. Cause that was just silly penalizing teams for no good reason. But in this case was, well, Jason Tatum's going to get it, so we got to make sure we have it for Tatum. And the most famous example, if we remember all the way back, was, well, we can't give that to Kevin Love because we got to save it for Ricky Rubio. Right. That was the way, and that was the actual explanation that was given. And that ended up pissing off Kevin Love and in some ways led to him saying, hey, I want out of here. And then LeBron, like, I want him. Let's go. So anyway, back to Jalen Brown. So Jalen Brown signed a just below max deal with bonus money, brought him close to the max. But on 120% raise, which is what it is today, he could do that today if he wanted, still could. Or I guess he's got to wait now because he's got 2 years left. But he could do it right at the start of next year, even at the 120. But what happens in that situation is, with Jalen Brown at the 120, he would have been leaving so much money on the table, never would have done it. He would have been insane to do that. So now what happens is you bump it up to 140. It brings him actually over what his max salary would be for the first year of the extension. Projected max salary. So what would happen is it would cap at his max salary. That's how they work it. It's you get capped out at that number. So for Jalen Brown, he's probably going to look at him and be like, 140 doesn't do anything for me because I can still get that same amount of money as a free agent. So what Jalen Brown's going to look at is whether he makes all NBA this year. Let's say he doesn't. Let's say kind of the scenario you laid out plays out and he doesn't make it. He can still say, well, I can still make it next year and still qualify for the Supermax, jump to 35%. So why would I sign today when I have all this other money on the table, knowing that same money is there for me a year from now? The example I used over on our show, on Front Office Show, was unless Jalen Brown wakes up one morning and he's like, holy crap, my right arm fell off, he's still getting a max deal. There's no injury he could suffer, barring something that is truly career ending, that is going to keep a team from saying, let's give him a max contract. We saw, and I'm not saying Jalen Brown is Kevin Durant, but we saw the Nets happily hand KD a max deal, knowing, hey, this 4-year max deal, it's only going to be 3 at the most, which didn't even end up turning into
rehabbing,
because you're going to rehab year one of it, but that's fine because that's how we get you. Some team would still do that. Probably still the Celtics would say, cool, man, rehab for the year. We'll get you back on the court after. So for Jalen Brown, there is no reason to sign, even now that it is 140%, knowing that All-NBA could still be sitting there for me, and I can still get all this money anyway. So unless he really fears man, this could all dry. I might lose all the Monstars come. I lose all my talent and I stink. It's all still going to be there for him because it's just, you know, here we are. So I think in this case, it's one of those things where I think this is a good change. But for someone like Jaylen Brown, what you would have rather seen as the Celtics is to have them say, hey, you can, and I think a great compromise would have been, hey, we're going to do 140 is the base number you can offer, or you can offer the max. Can offer in between, but you could say, what's the max we want to give you right now? Done. We're going to give you the max. We'll lock in no matter what it is. Qualify for all NBA. Cool. It jumps to 35%. You don't. We'll keep it at 30 and off we go. And it's all done and everything's locked in and off we go. But they didn't do that. That's not what they did. They said the 140, still the designated player language, all that stuff if you meet the qualifications. So for me, I don't think this changes a lot for Jaylen Brown because of where he is. He's right on the cusp of all NBA. I think for him, it's like there. And I'll say this, the only time Celtics fans should panic and, you know, raise the alarms and run around the streets of Boston screaming and yelling is if Jaylen Brown makes all NBA this year, the Celtics offer him the Supermax and he says, I'm good. I'm not going to sign it. Yeah. Then it is now it's time to panic, freak out, go crazy because one player has turned that down. And that was Kawhi Leonard. That was a very weird, different kind of situation.
Yeah. So
to me, at that point, it is, all right, well, now it's time to start entertaining. This dude doesn't want to be here. We got to think about trading him.
Sure.
I'm not saying that's how it's going to go, but I'm just saying that's the only thing. Because I have, even before the new CBA stuff, people were like, well, why isn't he signing an extension now? Because he gave up way too much money. It doesn't make sense for him to do that. The only time to worry is Supermax eligible. If he says no, now the whole game has changed.
Right. And he wouldn't say no.
No.
You sign it and then you say trade me.
Yep. And that's if I can real quick on that too, because people get worked up about that. I know.
Going to continue this conversation with Keith Smith of SpotTrack. Go check him out. He's one of the best out there when it comes to collective bargaining agreement stuff and the salary cap. So more on that. Grant Williams, the impact on Grant Williams. That's coming up next. First, today's show brought to you by Nissan and the 2023 Nissan Ariya. It's time to name our Nissan Most Electric Player of the Week, and that has to go to the subject of yesterday's podcast, Malcolm Brogdon, who has been absolutely electric, stunningly powerful off the bench for the Celtics. Like I said yesterday, the last five games, he's averaging about 19 points a game. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the league. And he gives the Celtics an elegantly powerful choice off the bench, just like the 2023 Nissan Ariya, which packs pin you to your seat power and premium intelligence all in one electric vehicle. Premium intelligence is a great way to describe Malcolm Brogdon because not only is he displaying that with the acceptance of his role, he's displaying that on the court, he's displaying that off the court. It's absolutely great to watch what Malcolm Brogdon has been doing for the Celtics off the bench. And I absolutely believe, if you didn't hear me say it yesterday, I'll repeat it today. I'll repeat it all week, all month, all off season. If he doesn't win Sixth Man of the Year, I think it'd be a travesty. He is the absolute Sixth Man of the Year. No disrespect to Emmanuel Quickley, but Emmanuel Quickley started 18 games and Malcolm Brogdon needs to get that Sixth Man of the Year because he has done all of this completely off the bench without a single start on his resume. He is the point guard, the sixth man for people who love basketball, and the Nissan Ariya is the electric vehicle for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com.
If you want to sign a player to a Supermax deal and the player signs it and you go, nothing prevents the team a year in from saying, yeah, we're good. We don't want him anymore. We're going to trade him.
All right.
Somebody else better came along. I have no problem then if the player says, this isn't working out the way I wanted it to. I want to trade. I don't have any issue with that. It's a, you know, I always say loyalty in the NBA, it's not a two-way street. It's two one-way streets that run parallel to each other for as long as it works. And then when it doesn't, they split off and go in their own separate ways in different directions. It's not, I don't get worked up about that stuff because collectively we've decided it's okay for teams to trade players whenever they want, but not a player. to ask for a trade. I don't like it when it's, hey, I'm under contract here and I'm saying trade me to one place and nowhere else. That's no, I'm going to make the best deal for me. And if you're going to start trying to tank your value and all this other stuff, that's a different, but that's a whole different story. But that's just a little aside. And I will say, because I asked around about this morning, there's nothing in the CBA about trade requests and trade demands in the new CBA that's coming. All the blustering that was done, it sounds like there's nothing there. Because I think part of it is, how the hell do you even police it? You know, because unless the player goes on camera and says to the world, trade me, I do not want to be here anymore, which happens about once every 25 years. And at that point, it's like, it's so far gone. Dude doesn't care if he gets fined. It doesn't happen that way. It's the player will be like, you didn't hear that from me, you know? So
that's
just a whole different story there.
Why can't the Celtics just offer him like, okay, so he gets the 140. You say, hey, here's the 140. Why can't they offer him like a contract that has escalators to say, can they do that? Can he say, here's 140. If you make all NBA, it becomes a supermax contract. Why can't they do that? I don't understand why contracts are structured like this. What are they trying to prevent?
This is one for me where you did a decent job fixing it. And it's great that because the 120 was kind of always a joke, except for like, it's different if it's like a Brooke Lopez who's 35 and at the end of his career. And it's like, hey, we can give you a little bump. Like, then that's cool. But for everybody else, it really becomes a situation where it's like, this isn't enough. Like, it's not enough. So what they did was, it's like, you fixed it and you made it okay, but you didn't really make it good enough. Like, it's still not enough to want to, you know, entice players to sign. You could have gone to like what you said, where it's like, hey, we're going to give you the 140, but if you hit, you know, all NBA or whatever, made it just like a designated role too, where it's like, yeah, we're going to jump you up. And if you make it, you know, on this time, you know, we'll jump you to the 35% or whatever it is. Like, I just think it was one of those where it's probably in the next go around, you know, 6 years from now, that'll probably be where we land. I think it's just, well, that's too big of a step. And honestly, a big chunk of what happens on the NBA negotiating side is we're going to save our owners from ourselves. Because you and I have been doing this for a long time and following it. I mean, we went through a period where like every dude was getting an 8 or 10 year contract for what at the time now looks laughable money. But now it was like back then it was insane amounts of money. It'd be like, if they just kind of made it all unfettered and went, someone would be like, hey, Jaylen Brown, okay, you need $75 million a year. Okay, let's do that. And we'll give you that much money. Or, you know, oh, we want to sign everybody to a max deal day one. Okay, let's do that. And that's not, you know, so then it turns into, holy crap, now my team's a mess because it didn't work out the way I thought. So a lot of this is save ownership from themselves.
Sure. So, yeah, that I mean, that's always the case. It's almost like there's three negotiations going on. There's a negotiation on each side, like simultaneously, the big market owners versus the small market owners. They're negotiating their side. They're like within themselves, and the players, the star players and the role players, the veterans and all of that stuff. Like the one and done rule. The 18 rule, like that's a rule that it seemed like that was a done deal coming in. And all the veterans were like, we want to keep our jobs. You know, the Blake Griffins of the world, we want to keep our minimum jobs. Cause that's like $3 million or whatever it is that I'd still like to make a few million dollars a year in the last few years. And hey, Blake Griffin deserves that. Look at what he did.
That was great.
Utah, you know, he's accepted that role. And yeah, I would gladly pay a few million dollars for that guy with all of his knowledge and all of that stuff versus sticking some high school kid into one of the two-way or whatever. I don't know what they would have done. Actually, you wouldn't put him in a two-way slot.
Yeah. Well, the reality is from the team side, teams did not want to be told, hey, there's this kid playing in rural Vermont. You better go check him out.
Because what
you can't do is say, he's not on anybody's radar because everybody's terrified of missing. So you get that report because some dude happened to roll through his nephew's game and saw some kid score 20. He's like, oh, this kid's 6'9" and he can handle the ball. And then as a scout, you show up and it's, this kid's 5'10". He had the game of his life, I guess, when they saw him play. You know, so it's like, that's what, but they're going to check every kid out.
That's a great point, because the internet can make anybody look like a star.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can go to some podunked town and say, okay, we're gonna record this kid and we're going to show crossovers and all this stuff. And you're like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
And then a scout goes there and it's like, nah.
Yep. But they're going to run them all down. So from the NBA side, they didn't want to be doing that. And then you already said it. The NBPA was like, wait, every 18-year-old who comes in, that's some, 34, 35-year-old who's not going to have a job.
That's a job
in the league. Let me tell you a funny story about this one is, because just this is kind of how these negotiations go. We got word a month ago that wasn't going to be in the CBA. I was told that was like day one. They sat down. I was like, hey, all right, we're all good on the money split and all that stuff. That wasn't going to change. And that's the single biggest thing. Once you're there, all the rest is details.
Yeah,
it's not to say it's easy, but all the rest is details, because the money is what drives all of this. But then it was, all right, hey, let's talk this one and done. And the NBA was like, yeah, we don't really want to change it. The NBPA was like, yeah, we don't really want to change it. And then both sides were like, but we don't want to be the one to come out and be like, the NBA, here's the evil corporate NBA saying like, these kids got to go to school. They can't work for us. Or the NBPA being like, we'll take you when you've established yourself. We'll bring in the league. So I think they just kind of looked at each other and said, let's just collectively leak that it's not happening. And you know why we don't feel bad? Because we have G League Ignite. We have Overtime Elite. Kids can make money on NIL deals. This is actually good for everybody. Let's all keep it the way it is.
Sure.
And that's where, I look at it as, it's just kind of funny the way these negotiations go. Cause there's sometimes it's like, sitting down and it's like, I want pizza. No, I want pizza. Well, then order a pizza. Like, what are we doing? Why are we fighting about this? And it's like, it's some of the deal points I know, cause I've talked to people who were involved in the discussions, were like extremely easy to be agreed to, but then other ones are a little bit harder. And the big thing, kind of circling it back to like Jaylen Brown and the extension stuff and all that, is the single biggest thing that everybody will tell you with this stuff is it's not going to be perfect for every player and every team. It's impossible. Right. With the advent of a third two-way slot, we're going to be up to 540 players in the NBA. Since the last CBA, they've added 90 roster spots to the NBA with the advent of the two-way slots. It used to be 450. There's a reason why a lot of the NBPA stuff is still tagged the 450, because that's what it was for years and years and years. And there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. Still, there's a lot of details in this. I keep having people tell me like, oh, wait till you see the full details on this one. And then I'm kind of like, can you just tell me then? Cause like, this is getting silly. Like, every 15 minutes, there's a new thing that leaks out, but it's just, I get it. Like, they're kind of, the reality is, I think as much as they said, hey, we've reached a tentative agreement, they're still finalizing stuff. They're still, working through, deal points and all those things, but it's like, okay, we're basically there. So we're good. But yeah, I think with, the Celtics overall, with Jaylen Brown and this max extension stuff and all that, I don't think it changes all that much for him or the team. I think we're basically sitting in the same spot we were in. And it's just, now it's kind of all, let's just wait and see if he makes all NBA. And then it becomes a let's wait and see once the Celtics drop that offer on him.
Okay. So Jaylen's all set. Grant Williams is going to come in, be a restricted free agent. It's not going to change what his qualifying offer is. Doesn't matter.
Well, Grant Williams' qualifying offer is likely to change anyway. I haven't looked it up since the last couple games. He's probably going to meet starter criteria, which means you meet starter criteria is either in the most recent season, you start at least 41 games, or you play 2,000 minutes, or you hit an average of 41 starts or 2,000 minutes. He was like, they would have to play real shenanigans for him not to hit the 2,000-minute portion of the starter criteria. So he's going to hit it. So his qualifying offer would change anyway. But they did, it sounds like, by all accounts, qualifying offers are going to go up by about 10%. So, but you're talking a qualifying offer for him of probably, I guess it'll be in the range of about 7-ish million. So you're talking, all right, it's going to be almost 8 million instead.
Yeah, it
doesn't matter. So it's not, not for him, probably not, a difference, but it's, I don't think 700,000 or so is going to be the difference between him signing the qualifying offer or saying, all right, I'll sign a new deal with the team.
The interesting thing, though, is that the matching window goes from 48 hours to 24 hours, which, for people who don't understand, this is like the little shenanigans that people play. You know, it's, oh, you want to offer Grant Williams, I don't know, $40 million, you know, or $20 million a year or something like that. Sure. We're going to take the full 48 hours. Used to be what, a week?
It used to be 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days.
Used to be it was 10 days. Then it went down to a week. Then it went down to 4 days. Then 2 days, and now it's going down to one.
And the thing with that is that your cap is tied up. You make the offer to Grant Williams, that cap space is tied up. So if somebody else comes around that you might not have expected, and you say, oh, I want to actually sign this person, forget Grant Williams, it's too late. The Celtics have the offer. You can't take that back. You got to wait. And the Celtics just sit there and be like, no, you know what? We're going to take the whole time. And you go, 3, 2, 1, we're going to match. And then you'd be done. Just because, hey, you know, that's the game that teams play. It's, you know, all is fair in free agency and war. So to take it down to 24 hours forces a team to say, hey, okay, we are going to make it. We're going to match. We're not going to match. And the reason that's important is teams will now be more likely to offer restricted free agent contracts. You still have to overpay to entice the player to leave, but it does make it a little bit more likely that a team might say, yeah, let's take a swing at it, because a day later, you can tell a free agent, give us a day. It's a little bit different. We'll get to you in a day. We got this other thing. You can do that with an agent.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to impact Grant, but it does slightly increase the odds that he might get an offer. Wrapping up the show next with Keith Smith of Spot Track with the Jason Tatum, the impact on Jason Tatum. And no one's going to really shed a tear for Jason Tatum. He's going to get perhaps the richest. It will be the richest contract in NBA history, but it's kind of funny. Missing out on all NBA last season, and now with this collective bargaining agreement, it's cost him seriously like tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. Not that he needs it, but I'll tell you why he's losing out next. First, you don't want to lose out on that kind of money. You want to go to FanDuel, America's number one sports book. You're going to be a new customer, especially in Massachusetts. I know, because just got legalized in Massachusetts. This is a great time to go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up and get that no sweat first bet, up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. It's a safe app. It's very easy to use. It's secure. You get your money pretty quickly after you win. You can bet on everything. Money line, point scorers, three-pointers drain. This would be a great time to get in on that Malcolm Brogdon Sixth Man of the Year, because quickly has passed them as the betting favorite. So hop on in there. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So again, go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn so you get your chance at that no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets back when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Go there to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official betting partner of the NBA. If you're going to bet, if you're going to gamble, I just ask you, please gamble responsibly.
It's one of those things where I think if you're the Magic, the Pistons, the Spurs, because the reality is all of those teams could use Grant Williams. You know, they're where they're at in their team building kind of arc, I guess. Yeah, if those teams with cap space, like, oh man, we thought we were going to get player X and we didn't. Now it might be, all right, we'll play because we're not going to tie things up for days and days and days and just be sitting on waiting to see what Boston does.
Yeah. So that's something that could play with what Grant Williams makes. But as we said before, that the Celtics might actually be incentivized to play to kind of give Grant a little bit more money. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I was joking around with some of the writers, and we felt like because of the new rules, everybody was joking around like Grant Williams, a VP in the Players Association, kind of screwed himself because he's not going to have options. Teams aren't going to be able to sign guys, but it might end up that Grant Williams is going to be like, hey, either someone's going to come up with some extra money, or the Celtics can say, hey, we'll sign Grant Williams for 4 years or 5 years or whatever. We will give him the little bit extra. It's going to cost us a little bit more tax wise, but in a couple of years, Grant is going to be right, like you said, right on that edge of, well, he makes a lot, but hey, new TV money's kicking in a couple of years. So you keep Grant for the next two seasons, and yep. We know what value he brings. You pay a little bit more, and people are going to be like, why is he making that much money? You pay him a little bit more, but the new TV deal kicks in, so it makes his deal more palatable. Hell, it makes Jaylen Brown's deal more palatable.
Mm-hmm. The other thing with the TV money coming in, which I think we said we were going to talk about it, so I'll do it now. They're going to smooth the cap, which in 2016, the NBA salary cap went from $70 million to $94.1 million. Mm-hmm. And yes, the thing everybody remembers is Kevin Durant went to the Warriors.
Yeah.
But the other thing I think everybody needs to remember is Luol Deng and Timofey Mozgov got contracts at 12:01 Eastern, so it was still midnight on July 1st,
from the
that were insane. And it was like, what happened? I generally think I have a pretty good feel for this stuff and have for, you know, well over a decade now. And I was like, I don't even understand what I was like. Did I fall asleep?
Those were two stupid contracts.
Yeah. And that's exactly what was going to happen again. Cause the cap may, I know people think this sounds bananas. It may go up $30+ million year to year. Now it won't, because what they've done is they basically said, hey, we're going to put a cap of 10%. That's the most it will go up is 10%. And what we'll do is, let's say it should go up 20%. The 10% will spill into the next year, and it'll spill into until we catch up. We'll just keep, if the next year it should only go up 5, well, you know what? It'll go up 10, and then we'll still have 10 more percent to make up, and we'll just keep spilling it over. You kind of artificially inflating the other years, because nobody wants that. Because all that happens is one free agent class benefits. It's whoever happens to be a free agent that year. And if they didn't put in smoothing, we were going to see players and teams spend this season and next season doing everything they could to make sure they were ready for the summer of 2025. Now it's going to go up, probably will go up the max of the 10% that they've put on it. And if it does, it does. And that's fine. You know, and off we go. But I think that's where we're headed with this smoothing is. And the only reason this happens is because in 2016, when the NBA proposed it, the NBPA didn't trust that they were going to make it up to them on the back end. It was like, it'll never come back to us. You will never make that money up. What's happened, unfortunately, with this group is, well, on the plus side, they've worked through another CBA, which was good, which was that one. But then they get into this. We got into the pandemic, which was awful, but they made it through it about as good as you possibly could. And now the league is in as good a place as it's ever been. And that's part of why this CBA was, they delayed it a couple times, but there was at no point you talk to anybody, especially once they dropped the whole hard cap stuff. Nobody was like, yep, lockout coming. Nobody felt that. Everybody was like, yeah, this will get done. We're all good. And part of the reason why for that is they have a great working relationship. And that's why now you can put in cap smoothing, because like, okay, we get it. You're going to make it up to us over a course of, you know, it might take 4 years to fully get there, but it'll get there and we'll be good. And that's the great thing about where the game is. A big comment I always say all the time right now is why nothing gets screwed up here is because everybody involved realizes a half a watermelon is better than a whole grape. And that's where we're sitting, right? We're splitting up watermelons, right? I mean, these are, you know, they're making so much money now that it's like, yeah, let's go.
That's great. Half a watermelon. I like that one. Except for Jason Tatum, who was going to get 10 watermelons. If the cap was going to go up 30 million, so next year's cap's going to be like 140 something. You know, like, right? Like 145, 146 next year. And then the year after that, you could assume it's going to go up to like let's just say 150, just round number, somewhere in that range. So if you go up 35% off of that, that's what? 50 something million.
Yeah.
So you're upwards of 185 to 190 million.
Yeah.
And Jason Tatum was going to get 35% of that.
Yep.
So his first year was going to be somewhere close to 60 something million dollars. Yep. First year salary. So 5 years, 8% raises on. So we're talking
a half about, $1 billion contract.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he still is going to opt out that year.
Oh yeah.
And he's, but instead of 35% of 180 something million, it's going to be 35% of 160 million or so. And so he's going to be not quite as mega rich. poor Jason Tatum. But yeah, that's going to be the difference, is that his first year contract is going to be 35% of 160 million, which is still going to be a significant amount. And probably there's going to be a crop of free agents there that are going to get the max deals. And these are going to be like the 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, richest contracts in NBA history. Jason Tatum will be the richest contract in NBA history, tied with two or three other guys that can opt out at that point.
So, hey, I don't ever get to do this with you. You want to do some breaking Celtics news? Have you even seen it?
Oh, no.
The Boston Celtics, this is per Sham Sharani of The Athletic, the Boston Celtics are planning to sign NBA G League Sioux Falls forward Justin Champagne. So that's how they're filling the final roster spot.
Oh, interesting. Justin Champagne. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
He was with the Raptors for parts of the last 2 years. He's been in the G. He's a G League guy. Little interesting they didn't keep it in-house, but yeah. So there it is. Okay.
There you go.
Now they're filling out the roster, because that's it. That'll probably be, barring this being some kind of weird move to gain, I don't know what. This seems like that's it.
I don't understand why they did that.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Tony Snell myself. That's where I thought it was going to be, bringing the vet and just say, hey, just in case. 33 years, 33 games in the G League this year, 19.5 points, 8.7 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 1.1 steal, and almost a block per game.
But he did have a little bit of a run with, so you said, it was Toronto a couple years ago.
Yep. Two seasons ago, 21-22, played 36 games with the Raptors.
So maybe I just saw him in the preseason.
Well, he has a brother, Julian Champagne, who plays for the Spurs.
Okay, maybe that's now, what
I'm... And he was with somebody else. I can't remember. So, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Interesting.
So there it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've covered most of the stuff that's of significant interest to Celtics fans. The net effect is Jaylen Brown's going to get paid one way or the other.
Sure. Yeah.
Jason Tatum is going to make a ton of money, just not quite the same ton of money that he did before. Grant Williams is going to get paid. So Grant Williams could get more money than we thought. There's a path to him getting overpaid. So that's interesting. And then, in a couple of years, 2-3 years, the Celtics will run out of ways to make their team better.
And my big thing is just everybody needs to, we will react to transactions and signings in the moment, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But we all need to keep an eye on, maybe there's something more with this one, where this is something for this year, next year, and the year after. That's why this deal is being signed, because I think that's going to be a play now, especially with this new super tax provisions in there that are going to make it tough for the really expensive teams. You're going to have to do some long-range planning with some of your stuff, more so than usual.
Yeah. So I think, that's going to be a good thing for all of us to do. Whenever there's a deal that happens this summer, instead of freaking out, we got to be like, okay, why would they do that? So the summer – trade deadline the following summer, there's going to be a whole lot of, why did they do that this way? If something seems way out of whack, Brad Stevens did not dip into the edibles. He didn't accidentally eat the wrong brownie. There's a reason for these guys to do it. The one thing I can tell everybody that I know for an undisputable fact or indisputable fact is that the Celtics front office has the ability to master all of the nuance of a collective bargaining agreement, as well as any front office in the league. That is a strength of theirs. Do they always make the right decisions because of that? No, you know, that's there's a different kind of motivation between what Danny Ainge did and all of that stuff. But when they do a deal, they figure out how to structure it. They figure out all of the nuance. So the Celtics are going to do something. And if you don't understand it, it's not because they're idiots. The fact is, they do something and you got to sit back and be like, wait a second. You got to process it. So yeah. That's the thing that we got to watch for over the next year or so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just to echo what you said, I trust especially Mike Zarin to
genius level guy
figure this stuff out more than just about anybody else. And then it becomes all of the other questions are we drafting the right guys? Are we developing the right guys? Is ownership committed to, all right, hey, we're going to keep paying. Because the reality is, if things go the way we all think they can, this team should be contenders for at least another 3 or 4 years. And by the end of that window, they're going to have a whole lot of tough decisions to make and difficult roster spots. But when you're kind of, I go back to what they said a couple years ago with Brad Stevens and Wick Grousebeck and everybody, and Danny Ainge was there as they transitioned everything is, hey, everything's about our pillars. It's about Tatum and Brown. Everything we do is to support those two guys. And when you're starting, that's your foundation, is those two dudes. They call them pillars. I call them your foundation, whatever it is. You're starting from a better spot than probably at least 25 teams in the league, at least, if not 29. You know, so you're in a really good place, and I trust these guys to whatever they got to figure out and sort through, they're going to figure out and sort it through, even if it doesn't necessarily make sense to all of us right on the face.
Well said. All right. Good show with Keith Smith. Again, check him out on SpotTrack. He has everything covered there when it comes to the league, the collective bargaining agreement, and the salary cap. Again, if you missed the first show, that was the Tuesday show. That has you covered on all the stuff that we know when it comes to the team building stuff, what the Celtics lose, all of the things the Celtics lose, because it's going to be much more difficult for the Celtics to build a supporting cast around Tatum and Brown as this team gets more expensive. So make sure you check out Tuesday's podcast as well. As this collective bargaining agreement comes out officially and we get all of the things, I'm sure we'll do another podcast later on during an off day somewhere along the way to tie up some loose ends and really explain it a little bit better. So hopefully this gets you a little bit caught up, makes you a little bit more knowledgeable about what's happening across the league and the collective bargaining agreement. I want to thank you for listening. If you are a first-time listener, thank you so much for sticking through. These were long podcasts with Keith. So if you would like to be a subscriber, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Head on over to YouTube, subscribe over there. And if you are a regular listener, thank you so much. Love you for being a loyal listener. Thank you to everybody who comes up to me at the game who's a listener. People who just, even if you're just yelling out, first listen, thank you so much. I love that. Keep it coming. I want to meet everybody who's there. Don't feel like you can't come up to me. Don't feel like you're bothering me at work. You can at least say hi. I would love to say hi. And thank you personally for listening and sharing the podcast. Make sure you're telling everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.